And I think if we can go to the next agenda item, which is the Standards Advisory Forum. Yeah.
Good morning, everyone. I will present to you a project which is a direct result of the strategy review that was conducted by our trustees. The recommendation regarding this project was that the ISB should work on formalizing and streamlining its work with national standards around the world. With IFRS use growing around the world, the need for global input to our standards setting process becomes crucial. And the context in which we're working on this project was that the ISB has a few bilateral relationships that are viewed by many as exclusive and not inclusive enough. The relationship with the FASB, the relationship with the Japanese board, etc., and others' relationship are more ad hoc in nature. So there is an acknowledgement that we need at this point in time to actually formalize and work better with our counterparts around the world to ensure that we're truly global in our thinking and that there's a good discussion among global standard setters, so us with our counterparts, to ensure that we're on the right track, that we get the right advice from around the world. So we are now in the process of establishing this group. It's called the Accounting Standards Advisory Forum, or ASAF, and I will just let you share with you some highlights of this project. So we were working on this last year, and we introduced the proposal in November. We received a very high number of comments, 63 comments, a lot of interest around the world. And in January, we presented to the trustees a revised proposal that was based on the comments that we received. And we published a call for nominations for the group early February, and the deadline was end of February, and so we're now in the appointment process, aiming at hopefully having the first meeting of the group in the beginning of April. So this is quite quick, but we thought it would be very important to start the group in 2013, because of the new agenda, because of the conceptual framework discussions. It was very important for us to include these discussions at a very early stage some of the potential members with the expertise that are needed and their input right on. So we hope to meet those very ambitious deadlines. There were a lot of comments in the comment letters. It was a general support of the creation of the group. I think the main concern that people expressed was whether we are creating here a shadow board. So basically, are we creating a group that would be very close to the board, will have a lot of influence on the board, and will actually have a veto power on the decisions of the board? And I think we are trying to address that concern in the various characteristics of this group, and I will address that. So what's the role, or what's the formal role of the group? We drafted a few of the constituting documents for this group, which is an MOU, and I'll describe that in the terms of reference. And in those, we are defining the role of the group as, first and for all, in general, support the ISB in its objectives, in the development of a single set of global standards. It is a group that, in terms of relationship, it's supposed to formalize and streamline the ISB's collective engagement with the global community of national standard setters. So rather than having, like we had so far, bilateral relationships, this is a multilateral relationship, having everybody relevant on the table. And it is supposed to ensure that we get a broad range of national and regional input on the technical issues that the board is deliberating on. And the third important role is, what's the agenda for this group? So mainly it's a technical discussion on the ISB work plan. It can include other subjects, other general subjects, but these subjects have to be with direct or major implication on the ISB work. So it is supposed to be a technical group that will ensure technical input in a very professional manner, not in a very high level, but very specific to the discussion of the board. The group is supposed to consist of 12 members, and the 12 members, you see that on slide 6 in the presentation, they are representing a geographic balance, one from Africa, 3 seats for the Americas, 3 seats for Asia Oceania, 3 seats for Europe, and 2 seats for the world at large. In the comment letters, we received mixed views on this size. Some thought it was too small a group, given the population that could be relevant, and others supported the size because of the aim of the group and because of the need to ensure efficient, effective technical discussion. We believe that the number is the right balance, and we are trying to stick to it so that we can really have very good technical, effective discussions. The representation in the group is not individual, it's organizational, so we called for nominations for organizations, and it's up to the organizations to actually appoint the individuals that will represent the group. The group will be chaired by the ISB chair, and we think this is a key feature that ensures the advisory nature of the group, and also preventing it from becoming a shadow board. So on one hand, it ensures direct contact with the board, but with the ISB chairing it, it is clear, and I think it's reflecting our view that this is an advisory group and not an independent group that makes the decisions on their own. We have decided that the group should be based, or the common themes, the common goals should be sort of reflected in a memorandum of understanding that all the members, including the ISB, should sign. This memorandum of understanding includes commitments by the potential members and by the ISB itself. So on the side of the ISB, the ISB is committed to transparency of the work of the group, to effective communication, and to provide technical support to the group, administrative support, and first and foremost, it is to commit to take the input and represent it faithfully and fully to the board for the board consideration. On the side of the members, the commitments that we included in the memorandum of understanding was, first and foremost, support the IFRS Foundation in its mission to develop a single set of global standards. This is a revised commitment. At the beginning, we thought that all the members should themselves be committed to the mission of developing a single set of global standards, but many of our constituents, many of the comment letters said that this might be too exclusive and it might prevent from many important members, many relevant members, to be included in the group. So we thought that the commitment is to support us in our mission, and I think that this was a good solution. We are focusing on regionally representative technical input. We will not assign the group with roles regarding application and endorsement of the standards, because many of the potential members have no role in their jurisdictions on endorsement and adoption, and we also are not dealing with issues of implementation. So it's purely standard setting role. And finally, and this is very important also on the side of the concern of whether this is a shadow board or not, both sides, so the potential members and the ISB, are committed to each other's independence. So this is an advisory group. The board retains the final word on what the content of the standards are. That's on the one side. And we, as the ISB, respect our members' roles and sometimes legal roles in their jurisdictions. I think we do have an expectation that this, in the long term, will enable members being involved from inception in the standard setting thinking and deliberations, will enable them and facilitate better endorsement of the standards. But we, of course, understand that it cannot be a commitment up front. So this is a legal issue, but we do think that this is one of the more important side effects of this group, or at least that we hope that will be the result. There was a lot of discussion on what would be the criteria for membership for this group. So first of all, as I said, potential members should be willing to sign the MOU and support the commitments and support the goals of the group. The members should demonstrate two essential criteria. One is to have the technical competence, experience, and knowledge in financial reporting issues. So this is not just a general exchange of ideas. This is truly a high-level, very important, and very professional discussion. And then they need to demonstrate the willingness and the resources to support the working of the group. We will expect the group to do some research work, to develop papers, to participate in meetings. So and this demands time and demands expertise and demands resources, travel expenses, and all that. And other factors that we specified based on some comment letters as well as factors to consider in the appointment process is the knowledge and experience in IFRS, contribution to IFRS Foundation and ISB activities, the scale of the capital market involved, and how the organization would seek input from others, because this is, after all, a 12-members group, and the population of standard setters are larger than that, so the issue of representation is also a factor that we want to consider.
Just a question in terms of what you might see as the key input that this group could have that would be beneficial to anything you're considering, or do you see there's maybe a future interaction of this group with the group you're talking about?
I think that the way we see it, and I was meaning to address that in the end, but I'll do it now, because there was a lot of concern how this group fits into our structure. And it's into our organizational structure. And first of all, this is an outreach group. So it doesn't have a role, it's not constitutional, it doesn't have a decision-making role. It's as we see it now, we have a group of preparers, and we have a group of users, and now we have a group of standard setters. So it's not a superior group. Many people, for example, asked us how this group interacts with the advisory council that we have. This group is specifically focused on standard setting issues. Our advisory council deals with the strategic direction of the whole organization, not just the ISB, the IFRS Foundation as a whole. So I don't foresee for now direct interaction between this group and the ASAF, but I don't know how this will evolve. I think we will give it a period of trial for 2 years and see, and maybe that would be needed at some point. But the idea is that it is just another consultation group for the ISB with a group of people that have experience in standard setting. The member selection, which was also something that comments were focused on, how are we going to do this? So first of all, as I said, we allocated this according to geographical balance, and we will we'll look at the criteria and how that was demonstrated in the nomination letters. We are having formal consultations now with the relevant bodies, so we consult with the regional groups of standard setters, be it the Asia-Oceania group, the Latin America group, the African PAFA, and in Europe we consult with the Commission. Europe is a specific case where, because of the legal structure of Europe, the Commission, and we said that very clearly in our comment letter, the Commission will have a strong, important voice in how we will do the actual process within Europe. And the final selection would be by our trustees. My last point I already covered, so it was about how we relate to the organization. So if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer.
Well,
Yeah. I think it's great that that the ISB tries to get the input and the experience of the national standard setters. I think it's really good. I mean, the national standard setters also like to have to give that input. I do have a problem actually with the name of the body, because the name Accounting Standards Advisory Forum suggests a really broad group of stakeholders, whereas this is really very specific, sourced with an edge from the national, from a standard setting point of view. So I think the name should be different of this body.
We had around 20 names. I agree that it's a compromise. We had many names. We tried to allude with the accounting standards to the expertise of accounting standards setting. We also made it a point to put it to put the word advisory in the name because of the concern I mentioned. Mm-hmm. I think that you might be right, but this is why we were so specific and so accurate in the drafting of the MOU and the terms of reference. So perhaps if you read them all together, people get the right impression. But,
yeah, but
I wish I had
from
you.
Now, people will not read that memorandum. They will just see the name and associate that with a certain broadness of the, and which is not there. So I think I would
change. If you have a name, please send it.
National Standard Setters Advisory Forum.
Also, why we couldn't use that? Because this is open also to regional standard setters, and also because we have another limitation, which you probably know in Europe. IFRAG is not exactly a standard setter, but it's a very important group, so we had to cover that. It was a lot. We had that those discussions.
And a second concern, maybe, is that I think it is good that national standard setters and IFRAG are consulted early in the process. But in the end, standards are not made for national standard setters. Standards are made for users. And I think it's critical that the early input is also taken from the user community. And I do see now this whole thing formalize for the national standard setters, and I just wonder, without creating a huge, time-intensive body, how is the user input secured early on in the process? Because that's, I think, equally important, maybe even more important.
Well, I guess in some ways, we expect national standard setters or regional groups of national standard setters to be consulting users as well. So what we're trying to get is a multilateral view, and this group will continue. We will hope that would be supplemented by the input that the national standard setters bring to the table, which they would get from users and preparers and regulators and the constituents in general.
It's going to be important for us to balance the views we're hearing from multiple sources, I think.
Sure. And I think it's very difficult to really grasp what drove the combined input, what stakeholders have been driven the opinions from the advisory forum, the ASEF. I think it will be very difficult, because some national standard setters are more from the regulatory point of view. The other ones are, like in the Netherlands, it's three parties. It's like the employees, the preparers, and the auditors. So it's a very much of a mixed bag of stakeholders that underlie. So I think there's a danger here that you think you get all these stakeholders on board, whereas you, in the end, there may be some stakeholders that will be overlooked.
This is our user group.
Yep. So we have got that input from users. Barbara, did you want to?
Yeah. Jan, is your thing?
You want to come in?
I wanted to make two points about your comments, Martijn, because I think
Well, first, I don't think we definitely do want user input as early as possible. This is not replacing that at all. We still have the balance that we struggle with in terms of asking users for input when they still really would like to wait until we have something to provide them with, and I think that's a separate issue. The other thing I want to say is I think my understanding, and Yael said this is just replacing the bilateral meetings we have. This is not a new concept, and this is making going out and researching the regions and the areas more efficient for us. It's also making the views, so if the one area comes up with a view, right now if we go out with a exposure draft, one area may come up with a view that's they're concerned about, and we don't know if every other region has it or not. So this is a process that we can gather information on a more efficient basis and helping us resource-wise, but it's certainly not replacing early user input, and it's certainly not saying we don't want your input. So I think it's actually just helping us manage our resources better at the end of the day.
Okay. Philippe, did you want to come in? Just as Martin probably knows, we also have this agenda consultation, which takes place every 3 years, which is a good opportunity, a good moment to identify very early on what are the users' demands and needs. And then from there, we identify needs, and then we start developing projects, and then we consult this group as the projects will develop. So I think there are plenty of opportunities first to identify the needs and then to work together in developing the projects.
So, Jane, did you want to come in?
Interested in to what extent this is a really important shift from the one big bilateral agreement that's been driving things for 10 years, convergence, and basically it's, you know, ISB talks to FASB and that's it. So is this completely replacing that? So is FASB going to be one of the 12, and hence the nice watering down of the, you know, you don't have to be committed as the US per se, but so long as you sort of generally support us, that's all right. So what is this literally fast beat? Is this completely the end of the convergence agenda with EuroSCEP? Or
I was asked this question yesterday in Brussels. I mean, the convergence project is there, the three subjects plus insurance, you know, we've discussed, and with any luck by the middle of next year closing those projects off. And there's no suggestion at this stage that we're going to start new projects solely with FASB. And for instance, the conceptual framework we're doing just with the ISB started as a joint project. And we hope, I mean, the final selections haven't been made for the 12 on ASAP, that's what we're working on this week, but we hope FASB will be one of the 12. And I think it's likely they will be. And that's how we'll work with them in the future.
Peter, do you still want to come in?
Oh, my question related to the FASB also.
I think just an observation, and perhaps you may have a response to it. I think you explained the kind of structure or the purpose, I should say, of this forum as a technical forum for technical advice on standards, and the advisory council is kind of the strategic advice. And I think that does make sense. I think where I see a slight disconnect is that you also said that the chairman of this forum will be the chairman of the ISB. And I guess I wonder whether if it's going to be a technical advisory forum, whether it's more appropriate to have the vice chair as the chairman of this group to kind of keep it focused on the technical aspects that it's supposed to give advice on. And to kind of move away from that strategic thing, because I think you explained about the membership, including members, you know, that are not standard setters, and they may have a slightly different agenda or a wider agenda, which is absolutely appropriate. But I think for this forum, the focus should remain on technical advice, and how to keep that focused, I think, is important. So it doesn't quite. I see a slight disconnect in that respect.
We had a discussion on this also at the advisory council, because the advisory council members expressed some sort of concerns of where the boundaries are. When we received the comment letters, many people have also expressed whether it's wise to have an independent or a separate chair for the group, and we have deliberated on that. And the difference we saw between this group and the advisory council, as I said, because the advisory council has an independent role within our organization, and because it provides advice to both trustees and the ISB on the strategic side of issues and on agenda issues, it was important that that group is independent and has an independent chair. For now, how the way we see it is because it's, first of all, it's important that in the first 2 years we actually put the group up and running and understand where the boundaries are and what's the role of the group and what's the role of other groups. And we thought that, therefore, that the chairmanship by the ISB chair is actually very helpful because the chair will, with his awareness of the organizational needs, it will ensure that the group focuses on standard setting issues and on technical issues. It will also ensure its nature as an advisory group. And I think that maybe in the future, after 2 years, people will feel this should be going in other directions. But for now, we thought that it would give it a good start. It would give it the right direction. And we work, you know, as we proceed, we see what changes, if at all, we need either in the agenda or in the structure.
I think, just one more point, if I may. The directional concern is exactly the concern that I have, is I think at the start it's important to set the right tone and the right focus. And, you know, I'm not saying that it's completely wrong to have the ISB chair as chair, but I think the way that you've explained the body, it seems to be more appropriate to have a more technical chairman of that body to focus rather than on the strategic side. But, you know, it's just an observation.
Going to take two more people, I think, before we break for tea. Jed?
Yeah, I think I'm broadly supportive of this, that the accounting standard setters around the world need to get together. I mean, I'm a little bit disappointed, I think, by the narrowness of the scope, actually, if anything. So I've been thinking for many years about how are you going to transition from this main bilateral relationship to a sort of a wider relationship. And over the years, I've seen some of the best papers from an accounting perspective have been written by, you know, the FRAG, some of the European National Standard Setters, some of the standard, you know, there was one on biological assets written by, I think it was Malaysia. The material that comes out of FASB obviously is very technically strong, and I don't think the ISB would be able to cover the breadth of work that's needed without the support and input at a technical level from the national standard setters. And so what I would have preferred to have seen part of the mandate for this group to be discussing the work plan and the analysis and the research projects that were being done with a view to the people who are participating in ASAF taking away some work that they go back to their organisations to complete. So there was sort of, and cooperate where relevant, because both people, you know, if you've got two regions that agree that this is very important for their members, that you can run joint projects between them. And I'd have liked to see something that actually created a...
We're doing that in two streams. This group, the idea initially anyway, is real-time technical advice. But we have a research focus as well, and it's our clear intention to work with others on that research, and it's in that area. And there's nothing to stop ASAP discussing some of those research projects as we go along. And clearly, some of the members who don't know who they are yet, but I'm sure that of the 12, quite a lot of them, perhaps even all of them, will be involved in research projects somewhere. And the only difference we've really made in our thinking on research is that we should be involved in all of them. In the past, some of those papers have been done sort of in isolation, and then people get, you know, the ASB, when I was chairman of it, we did quite a number. We did pensions, we did tax, we did a few. And then expectations are built that something's going to be done with those papers. And so we want to manage all that as well. And so it won't be ignored how much time we have at the table. 2 days every 3 months will be another point on how much gets taken up at the actual forum itself.
Vincent?
You may have covered this. I would expect that the likes of FASB and EFRAG would be standing members of this body. But in terms of some other parts of the world, you mentioned you've allocated particular seats. Would there be a rotation across jurisdictions for these particular seats? And what kind of time horizons would the rotation occur?
The expectation is that every 2 years, first of all, for the first term, we will do a review after 2 years. And part of the review is membership review. The expectation is that for the regions to come up with some sort of rotation mechanisms so that we have, over the years, everybody participating in the group. And I think that that's doable. People need to get used to this idea that sometimes they're in and sometimes they're not, and sometimes they're represented by others. The other mechanism that can support that is the work of the IFAS, the International Forum of Standard Setters. They are thinking now how to support the 12 members that will be on ASAF, how to provide a wider input for them. And so I think that with the support of IFAS on the one hand, and with the idea that we will incorporate rotating mechanisms for all regions, I think it will ensure versatility and diversity in membership over the years.
All right, thank you. Thanks,
yeah. Hi, Seiichi from Tokyo. Can I jump in?
Absolutely.
I actually have quite a high expectation for this ASAP. We are now in the second generation of the IASB. And one of the problems with the first generation IASB was, in my view, that many projects, the re-exposure draft had to be issued. Because of the lack of the research in the initial stage, the discussion paper were too adventurous. And because of not enough outreach activities, the exposure draft was again too ambitious, and therefore re-exposure draft had to be issued. And to me, this Ian alluded earlier, the emphasis on the research project plus this establishment of the new organization will be the necessary mechanism to expedite the standard setting process of the second generation ISB. In this spirit, I expect a lot from this ISAF and your research efforts.
Thank you.
High expectations.
Yes. Very good. All right, thanks. Thanks, Yael. The primary responsibility of a chairman is to get everybody to tea on time, and I think I've missed that by about 9 minutes. Can we take a tea break now and come back at 22? Thanks very much.
Yeah, and I will tell Rachel. That's right. That's why I told you.
No, true. Makes me a lot of sense. There we go.
Immediately suggest that you're doing fair value of the whole entity. And I think if we change, oh, here, I'll tell Rachel. Hello. The evidence.
So you need to control it, make sure the stuff isn't talking too much. I haven't prepped them for this meeting.
There was the prep meeting that happened yesterday.
That was an induction for the new members. So the new members are Osmond, Carlos. I guess Martin was at the induction, but he's not new. And then Peter. So we had four new people. And then we also have Mark Prentice. Well, you know, Steve is in Australia. That's why he's not here. Pat McConnell, I think, is out of country, not out of country. So it's Steve will be back chairing us. So don't worry. We haven't totally replaced it. Yeah, Steve. Well, that's true. But I think it's kind of nice to have a user person on the ISP side. Since I'm not as much a user person as Hillary. Yeah, I know you see a whole new face. Everything's new today. Was Hillary? Yeah, she was. She'll start on Monday. Do I have her email? I have her Yahoo. I have her Yahoo email. Where would I see it? I'll just write it down for you because it's actually just her name. It's Hillary Eastman, all lowercase at yahoo.com. Yeah. I'm gonna run out. But so you have to leave early today. Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for coming.
Hello.
Sorry, I ran out to tell you. I have 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's fine. Where do you want me to sit?
Would you like to sit in which ones? Because I think they're all gone. Do you need to sit in the aisles? You can sit next to me. Repeat. That way you're kind of presenting.
Yeah, it might be easier for me.
Okay, so we'll get your name.
They can kick me when I'm.
And so did they are going to get my reservation. Yeah, can you give us?
We've only got 10 seconds, we only had the limited printout, but I can get to CMAC members for me too. They asked for last name's address.
Well, they asked actually for the exposure draft, Excel, but we can still give it to them.
Okay, I'll give it out.